Well, greetings, friends. It's good to have you with us once again, and it's good to have you with us on this Sunday morning, wherever you might be this Sunday morning watching this. Some of you may be at home, some gathered somewhere else, because these sharings that go out from here go out by virtue of the internet on YouTube, and consequently we may be finding you in this country, or may be finding you in some other country. But wherever we're finding you in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're talking about in most of these sessions on Wednesday and Sunday. The reality of being in Christ. And we've been looking at that as the reality of our union with Christ. Now, we have been looking at the two terms that are related to our being in Christ. And those two terms that we've been looking at, which we have been looking, is the church and the body. The church, of which Christ is the head, the body of which he is the head, and the very allness, the very substance. We've been emphasizing that the church and the body are not two different things. Not two different things. There's not a church and then a body. They are the same. And while there is some distinction as to the function of the church, which is his body, they're the same. And we've dealt with that. And we're not through dealing with it yet. I think we'll probably come back to it in time. But then we've been looking at what I've been calling the all-together otherness that the church, which is his body, is altogether other than anything that is earthly. It's altogether other than anything on earth, and can only be defined as to its being, and defined as to its substance, and can only be defined as to its purpose in the very person of Christ himself. And so we've been talking about that, and the reality of being in Christ. And this session, I want to deal with a reality of which many believers are simply not aware. And it has to do with the presence of the Lord. And we dealt with that last Sunday when we were looking in to Hebrews chapter 8 and 9 and 10. And we continue today to just look at that reality, the presence that he has brought us into. The presence. And I'm saying it that way because We have a lot to look at, and we'll get a introduction dealt with this morning, and then probably spend a considerable amount of time on the presence. I'd like to today define the presence. And we have defined the church, and we have done that in Christ in these little sessions. We haven't exhausted the definition. We have defined his body, the church, which is his body in the person of Christ. Hun, now just listen to me. It is essential to our growing in Christ, to our standing firm, to our walking in Christ, to our living in Christ, it's essential that we understand that it is with a person that we have to do. We are his body, and he is our dwelling place. He is that. Our dwelling place is not something that he has created for us outside of himself. Our dwelling place is not something that he has created for us other than himself. It's not a place where he lives and we live there with him. We live there also. No, our dwelling place is the reality of being in Christ where he lives in us, having Christ as our life. So we're talking about a union. And I'm going to read that again in John 14. My. We've spent a lot of time there in bringing all of that right over into the whole epistle, our book of Hebrews. But we must understand. It's essential that we come to that understanding. And I'm saying these kind of words here. We must understand. Essential we come to that kind of understanding. But what it is, hon, it's not the natural mind figuring these things out, even by basing it on, you know, on scriptures. But it's an understanding to which we must come in, by, through the Spirit of God. But nonetheless, it is an essential understanding. Else we just think that Christianity is a really, really good and maybe the only good religion in the world. But Christianity is not a religion at all. Not in the sense of religion, not in the best sense of religion. Christianity, as a name even, is the result of our union with Christ. It's a result of our being his body. It's a result of Christ dwelling in you. I mean, the very term Christianity is a result of that. And I can't help that term has been changed and has been modified and has been labeled and unfortunately defined as one of the religions of the world. Well, hon, Christ is not one among many. Christ is the only Christ. He's the only anointed of God. He is the only Son of God, and He is the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only door, the only true and full and complete and perfect salvation. That's Christ, honey. And we're talking about our union with Him. So I'm not arguing with anybody about their religion. I don't really care anything about the religions of the world. I really don't. I don't care about them. Because I haven't placed Christ in that category. No, He is above all. Above all. A name given to Him above all. Read Ephesians 1. We have read it in these sessions. Read it again. You need to read it right now. And you need to particularly take note from verse 16, let's say, through the end of that chapter. It's just a few verses. Look at the testimony given of the Son of God. Look at it. Look at it. Raised up out from among the dead. The only resurrection from among the dead is Christ Himself. The one who was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father is the one who lives in the believer, the one who lives in those who are born from above, the one who lives in you, hon. And what an exalted picture there is there. What an exaltation there is there in Ephesians 1. And then you and I, in Ephesians 2, are declared to have been brought into union by the Spirit of God with that very Christ. And that's primarily what we're talking about in these sessions. The reality of that. The reality of that that is made known by the living Spirit of God Himself. He's the reality. He's the reality of that. It's not on the basis of we have believed it as a religion. I mean, I trust it's not that way with you. It may be that way with others. But you're missing the whole point if it is a religion with you. Something that you can do, a particular way that you conduct yourself. A particular place you go, a particular time that you go there, all of these things. Finding nothing wrong with any of these things until someone tries to define their union with Christ according to those outward things. I mean, my union with Christ is not based upon what I am doing right now, sitting here in a place that has truly been dedicated to the Lord for the increase of His gospel around the world. But my union with Christ is not a result of this that we are doing, and even where we're doing it at this point in time, is a result of our union with Christ, but it can't define it. whether I'm in this building or in another building or standing out there under one of the trees on top of this mountain. I'm talking to you about the reality of our being in Christ. And I'm just repeating myself as much as I possibly can. That we begin to be awakened to a altogether heavenly, spiritual state of being. And when I say spiritual, I'm not talking about something that we don't live every day in these vessels. I'm simply talking about something that is above and beyond these vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us, and so that we may come to understand that the excellency of the power of this indwelling treasure is of God and not us. It is Christ in you, bringing you by His eternal Spirit into union with Himself. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And hun, that pretty well buttons it down right there. And it's not the Spirit of Christ plus this and plus this and plus this and plus this and plus something else. No, if any man have not, but let's put it this way, because you'll agree it's the same thing in that scripture. If any man have the Spirit of Christ, he is one of His. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. But darling, it is the reality of this, of Christ in you. It bothers me. It disturbs me. And has for a long, long, long time. Why? Because I found myself in that situation. What is it that disturbed me? It is that too many believers do not have the understanding and therefore cannot possibly have the appreciation for the greatness, the allness of the one who is in us. And that's why they keep trying to add to their salvation. Christ plus. Christ plus me doing this. Christ plus, well, I'm not even going down that line, but Christ plus. Christ plus righteousness. He is the righteousness of God, and there isn't any other righteousness aside from Him. He is the righteousness of God. Just like He is the eternal Word of God, the eternal Son of God. Now, I'm doing what I'm doing right now because I want you to turn to John 14 while I'm doing this. John 14, we're going to look at just a few verses here because I want to talk to you about the presence. He has brought us into the presence. And probably this morning, just try to define something with regard to the presence. We'll stay with it a while in these sessions. Lord, open our understanding. Open our understanding to what You have done. Not historically, what You have done and are now doing in our soul, because You are the who of what You have done. It is You, Lord. And hon, You and I have got to come to an ever greater and ever consuming understanding of that, realization of that, that we can walk in the light of that in the midst of gross darkness. We can walk in the light of the truth in our heart, in our soul. John 14, the greatness of this one. We've started off on that months ago, referring to it as the exalted view of Christ. And then just realizing that that is the Father's view. The Father's view of the Son is the ultimately exalted view. And as we grow up into Him, that view begins to be the image that we bear in our soul. From an outward image to an inward image to an image that the Father Himself shows us by His Spirit. The exalted view of Christ. Because that is the exalted view of your salvation. That's the exalted view of righteousness. That's the exalted view of the life that you have as a born-again believer. It's Him. Everything of our salvation doesn't just relate to Him, it is Him. And as we define the presence, we're going to find that that's Him also. So, John 14. And let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In, and this word in is just going to stay here. It's all through Paul's epistles. It's all through this, from here through the 17th chapter of John. In. And it's talking about not merely in association with, but having our very existence in Him. Our very living in Him. It is speaking of a relationship, a union in time, place, state of being, a union of rest. This little word. In my Father's house are many mansions. Well, it's many dwelling places, we all know that. And if it were not so, it's really neat the way the Lord says this. Think about it for a while. Go back and just consider it. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so. See, hon, when we're dealing with Christ, we're not simply dealing with words, we're dealing with the eternal Word of God Himself, in whom there is no lie, because He is the truth. If it were not so, it could not have come out of my mouth. That's what He's saying. If it were not so, I could not have said it. If it were not so. You understand? I go to prepare a place for you. And what we're going to be looking at in these next few sessions is that this place is in the presence. It's not outside of the presence. It's in the presence. Well, that may be something to which our minds, our hearts have not been awakened, but it's true, and it's a shame that so many are missing that reality as the joy of their soul while they're looking to the wild blue yonder for a time, a place, when they will be in the presence. And they're not really sure the presence of what then. So I want to talk to you about the presence, because that's what he's talking about here. Look. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you into myself. Now, these are my words. Because the place that I go and prepare for you is not a place other than in me, in my Father's house. It is not a place other than myself. The place is not other than He Himself. All of this we'll be looking at in relation to the presence as we go along. I will come again. I will come anew. That is not a promise of something that has not yet been fulfilled in Christ. That is not a promise of something that has not yet been fulfilled in Christ. But you see, most people that talk about what they believe that promise to be have no concept, nor will it ever come out of their mouth, that such a place is in Christ. It's something that He is somewhere still trying to get built. That isn't what he's talking about. I will come anew. Again, anew. He has come the first time in the flesh. He will come the second time in the spirit. And that's what he's talking to them about. And he isn't talking to them about something that's 2,000 years beyond what he's standing there just before he goes to the mount, just before he goes to the cross. He isn't talking to them 2,000 years into the future, because these are the ones that he's talking to who shall be in a matter of days preaching the gospel that he is come and dwells in them. Now, we're looking at these verses at least a couple of thousand years after they were written. But the reality of it is now just as it was then. It is Him. It is Christ. It is Christ, hon. I will come anew. I'm not making that up. That's the true definition. And receive you unto a really, really nice man house. You can't even imagine. I mean, I'm going to put winding staircases in that thing, and I am going to put fountains all over it with little concrete statues in it. Now, you know better than that. I apologize for even saying something like that, but I will come and receive you unto myself. And I've been looking at this a lot back to John 14, because we've been on that for I don't know how many, a long, long time, just in some of these sessions and in other sessions as well. And the ministry that is here, and that you watch. Speaks of that same thing. Continually we are speaking of, and receive you unto myself. Being in Christ. Christ and Christ in you. But from time to time, the Lord will catch the attention in a greater way of those in whom He is revealing His Son, and focus upon certain of those realities. Certain of those realities. And He focused that I receive you unto myself. And He goes on to say that where I am, you may be also. In the King James, the word there, and it's very clearly in italics, even in the King James, and it was added. And I'm not for sure when it was added. We could find out. But it was added. It was added by some translator. It should not be there because it isn't talking about a place other than Himself. No, that where I am, you may be also. And then he goes on. My reason for reading this again is the term myself. He brings us into the presence. Not just brings us into the same place where He also is. He brings us into the place that He is. Brings us into the presence. I want us to understand here, just looking at this for a while, and I'll be basing it upon a statement similar to this, that the presence, and when I say the presence, I'm talking about the presence of God, the presence. The only thing that is truly presence. Everything else is so, it comes, it goes, it's passing continually, all of that. Nothing that you can find on earth truly constitutes the presence, probably the presence of anything. But there is that answers to the term in the Bible, the presence. The presence. And it is the presence of the Lord. But what I want to emphasize is that the presence is not a feeling, but a person. And I want us to look at that definition for just a moment. Here in Genesis, the Lord has brought us, has received us into the presence, has received us into Himself. That's the place that is prepared, that was prepared by the work of the cross, which was His death, His burial, His resurrection, gathering into itself His ascension and His coming again, and receiving those that were awaiting Him on the day of Pentecost into the presence. Now, so He's brought us into the presence, which we'll look at again and again and again. We're called, hon. We are called into a glorious fellowship. The fellowship of the Son. The fellowship of the Son. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But it's the fellowship of the Son that we're able to share. That we're able to share in, and that we're able to share one with another. It poses maybe, it brought this to my mind, is is God who is our Father in Christ, is God after in me, in my heart, in you, in us, who are in His Son? Is God after an acceptance of facts on our part? Or beyond that, is His desire the affection of our hearts? I just want you to think about that. I was looking at it yesterday and I wrote it down. The affection of our hearts. So I can look back to Israel and you can see it there, how in talking with Moses concerning the Israelites, he would rehearse with Moses all the things that he had done for Israel. I mean, going back to bringing them out of Egypt, and then again and again and again. And then he would say to Moses, and yet, having seen all of these things, knowing that I did this, knowing the fact of it, that they're not still in Egypt, knowing the fact of it, I showed it to them very clearly. The Egyptians were drowned and they were delivered. I made that very, it's no way they didn't see that. And on and on and on, and he goes right through it. He goes through that list. And then he says, but their hearts are far from me. And that is the continual heart of God when he's speaking to Moses. How their hearts, that he their hearts are not set upon him and upon knowing him. Their hearts are not there. And as I was thinking about this, it just hit me, and I so much so that I want to read something to you concerning that in Exodus 33. Yeah, Exodus 33. With regard to the heart of Moses, because Moses had that heart toward God, and I in searching concerning the presence, I just kind of came across this in Exodus 33. Hadn't been there in a long time. And just begin to look at this. Exodus 33:13. And there's been a lot of problems take place. A lot of problems, a lot of disturbance. And they're out of Egypt, but they're a long way from being in Canaan. And here in Exodus 33, verse 13, now therefore, Moses is praying for them. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Because Moses is out here with a million people or more, I don't know, and he's trying to lead them somewhere. They're already out of Egypt, and he's not, that's not on his mind. I'm trying to get these people out of Egypt, and no, that's already taken place. But he is trying to lead them. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. This rather sounds like Paul. And I didn't get any further than this right here. I went on and read, but I mean right here I began to, in my heart, I began to realize, is not this the thing the Lord desires in me? That I may know you. They knew what he had done. That I may know you. When will we ever focus upon that? That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. Do we feel that way concerning the Lord's body? I mean, because we've come beyond what he was talking about here. But it's a type and shadow of it. It's the testimony of it. But a far greater reality has been wrought in Christ. We're his very body. He dwells in us. So just bring that right over into Christ now. And here you see the heart of Moses for the Lord's people. And is that the heart we have, one for another? Is that the heart we have one for another? The body of Jesus Christ. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, what I want to show you, and what you can find going on in this and what we'll come back to again, is that my presence right here is the Son himself. It's the Son himself. I mean, come on, hon. Time and time again, what God shows them with regard is with regard to his presence is his Son. He shows them that in the Lamb of God. He shows them that in the high priest. He shows them that on and on. He shows them that in the man just inside of Canaan that appeared. We know that it's the whole walk typically and is a testimony of a walk in Christ. A walk in the light as he is in the light. I mean, that goes into Judges. There's no place through every book in the Old Testament, every dealing of God with Israel was concerning Israel is my son, to get their eyes open that they could see their identity with God through the Son and their standing with God by the Son. Because, hon, our standing with God is his Son. His Son. Come on, darling. My presence shall go with thee, I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me. I want you to see the heart of Moses. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If it's not going to be in your presence, we don't want to go anywhere. If it's not in your presence, carry us not up hence. For wherein, verse 16, shall it be known? For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Hon, is it not, Lord Jesus, that thou dwellest in us? Where else is it? our lineage? our church denomination, our doctrinal beliefs, the works that we have done? Where is it? For wherein shall it be known that we have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou art in us? That's what we started with this morning. And I'm bringing all this back to that, because it's all a testimony of that, every bit of it. And it becomes plainer and plainer and plainer as you go along in right here in Exodus. But we haven't the time for that this morning. I just want to stir some hearts up this morning, honey, concerning defining the presence. Now, sweetheart, I was raised up in the same denominations and same movement that many of you have been raised up in. One that really focused on the presence of God, but as a feeling that would come into the building, an emotional disturbance, an emotional feeling. And we'd call that the great presence of God. I had one brother, not but just several years ago, tell me about how the very presence and glory of God filled some place where he was at a Bible conference back, I think, before he ever met me. But at any rate, And it was like smoke filling the building. He actually said that to me, like smoke filling the building. And I was just dumbfounded. I didn't want to say anything. I mean, hon, a cloud filled the building in the days of Moses. And yet that's the glory that Paul says was not glorious at all, in that the greater glory is come and dwells in you. And that's Christ. It's not about a feeling, hon. I've been right there. Oh, I've been right there. I'm telling you, with the feelings, I've been right there. Laying hands on anybody that didn't move, so they could get the feeling. Now, I'm telling you the truth, or I'm telling you the facts. And yet none of that satisfied my soul, none of it. I was as empty as a jug when the emotions was gone. That's right. And I didn't know anything but to call that the presence. Man, the presence of God came down last night. Not the presence that we're talking about right here. That presence doesn't come and go. And that presence is not defined by any kind of an emotional disturbance or any kind of an emotional feeling. Because, honey, I don't care how great it is emotionally, it doesn't remain, hon. You should know that. And there's nothing wrong with being emotional. I can be a very emotional person. But I have found that's not the presence that my soul desired to embrace. But look at the rest of this verse 16. So shall, is it not that thou go with us? So shall we be separated. That's a word that actually means consecrated, separated unto thee, O Lord. That's true consecration. I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. A new creation in Christ Jesus, wherein there is neither Jew, Gentile, bond, free, etc., etc. Oh, if we could only come to realize and find our identity not in the nations of the world, but in the kingdom of God, which is Christ. The reality of being in Him. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now, I've got just a few minutes left, so I want to read this. Here is the heart cry of Moses. Verse 18, same chapter. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. See? Not, Lord, take me up to glory. Show me thy glory. Now, this was in the heart of Moses. This was in the heart of Moses. Verse 19, the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. A-L-L, my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. What a testimony. What a testimony. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon, in that very place, upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put you in a cleft of that rock. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. But sweetheart, he did show him. Here's what he showed him. Here's the testimony. It's this way all the time, all from the very dealings of God with Moses, the dealings of the Lord with Moses is always in such a way as to be a type of, to be pointing to and a testimony of what shall be fulfilled in the person of the Son Himself. It's always pointing forward to the Son, the salvation of the Lord. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Always. And it certainly is that right here. What He did show him in type was the place where the face, the presence, the person would be seen. And I just really want to talk with us a while about that. I'm out of time just now. What a place. Well, it's the Son. I mean, it has been that way with the Father before the foundation of the world. And it is never going to change. And who, with any understanding at all, would want it to ever change? That we be found. Paul saying, crying out, oh, to be found in Him, to be found in Christ, not having anything of me, but that which is by the knowledge of the Son of God, by the very faith of the Son of God, to be found. Yes, the place. And it's the place where He brings us into the presence. The presence. So I'm going to go no further than that, but I did want to read to you in Exodus. And I also want to talk to you about the having to do with the presence in Genesis 3:8. You might look at it. This is back in the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. We want to look at that. Because here the voice of God is defined. In the Hebrew, it is defined as the living being. B-E-I-N-G. The living being. Himself. Not just a sound, but a person. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. And I want to look at it with you. Did some little looking at it. And Isaiah speaks about it and so forth. But there is no doubt. It is actually, they heard the word of the Lord God walking. It's interesting that they hid from that presence because of sin. Because of sin, they hid to cover up their nakedness. Fast forward, and I'm going to quit here. Fast forward right back up to Moses, because part of the problem that I've just been reading there in Exodus 33 was this problem with Israel there at Sinai. They hid from the presence. Now, what did Israel do when Moses come down off the mountain and his face shined? They hid from what was a testimony of, and in type and shadow of, the presence. And they required Moses to put a veil over his face, which veil went right on into the tabernacle of Moses and hang there. Again, separating Israel from the presence. Now, I'm not going to make a big deal out of that, but I thought about it. I thought about it. Because the only way you and I, and as I thought about it, God's answer has been the same answer all along, even with Adam, with Abraham as far as that goes, with Israel, We enter into the presence, the true presence, in Christ Jesus. Lord, open our eyes to see, our understanding to abide in such a place. The Lord bless. Good to have you with us this Sunday, and good to be with you this Sunday. And we always love to hear from you, from wherever you may be at this point in time on earth. Thank you so much for allowing us to come in to where you are now. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. And I must also tell each of you who help us maintain, yes, but continue to reach out with this gospel throughout the Lord's body and around the world. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's such a thrill. It's such a thrill to have believers who are not only in their heart and soul desiring to know Christ, but also have a desire to be part of in any way they can with an outreach of that gospel and of that reality of Christ. And I just have to tell you, we appreciate you guys that help us to do what we're doing concerning that. May the Lord richly bless you for it. And so I tell you again, if there's anything we can do for you beyond what we are doing, if there's any questions, if there's any comment, just feel free to contact us. We love you and look forward to seeing you here on the internet and in person in some future gathering. May the Lord, and when I say some future gathering, I'm talking about our gatherings together as His body. The Lord bless. Amen.